Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Yadi. If Dasyasi want to give me Kaman anything desirable Varam as your benediction Tuam you Varadarshaba O Supreme Personality of Godhead who can give any benediction Kamanam of all desires for material happiness Ridi within the core of my heart Asamroham no growth Bhavata from you to then Vrine I pray for Varam such a benediction. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to pray for benedictions from the Lord. He said, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani jammani shivare bhavatat bhakti rahaituki tuaye. O my Lord, I do not want from you any amount of wealth, nor many followers, nor a beautiful wife, for these are all materialistic desires. But if I have to ask you for any benediction, I pray that in whatever forms of life I may take birth, under any circumstances, I will not be bereft of your transcendental devotional service. Devotees are always on the positive platform, in contrast to the Mayavadis, who want to make everything impersonal or void. One cannot remain void, Shunyavadi. Rather, one must possess something. Therefore, the devotee on the positive side wants to possess something, and this possession is very nicely described by Prahlad Maharaj, who says, if I must take some benediction from you, I pray that within the core of my heart there may be no material desires. The desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all material. Yadi dasya si me kaman, varam stvam varadar shabha, kamanam ridi asam roham, bhavatastu vrinne varam. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासवि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। This is a very beautiful section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the whole Bhagavatam is beautiful, but this is especially beautiful. These are the exchanges a most exalted pure devotee of the Lord Prahlad Maharaj has with Krishna, with his Supreme Lord. And the Bhagavatam is full of role models we can follow in our personal lives. This is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to show us how to love Krishna. In the present condition of existence, we have material identities. Of course, as devotees, we are engaging all our identity to serve Krishna and serve other devotees and to become purified from our material identification or from that material identity. But actually we cannot fully say that we are free from the material identity in most of the cases. Isn't it? Therefore we see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was emphasizing Naham vipro na chanarapatir na api vaishyo na shudro. I am not a brahmana, I am not a kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. I am not a brahmachari, I am not a grihasta, I am not a sannyasi. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He was emphasizing that because even in religious life, there is a tendency to acquire a material identity. We have to become something. We identify with our particular dharma in this world. But that identification may become also material. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, since the very beginning, emphasizes rejecting Kaitava Dharma. Dharma projita Kaitavotra paramonir matsaranam satam. The Srimad Bhagavatam rejects Kaitava Dharma, or that religious practice which is performed with material consciousness. And also in our Krishna consciousness movement, we are actually practicing, as taught by Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, the previous acharyas, we are practicing this consciousness. Prabhupada called it Krishna consciousness. To reject completely material religiosity, cheating religiosity, and engage ourselves fully in the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees, especially by hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna and the other processes of bhakti. And this is a way, the natural path to develop love of Krishna, which is very natural. Ultimately, it's very natural. Even a child can do it very easily. A 2-year-old child can do it very easily. Today, while we were coming in the car with Sula Prabhu, his 2-year-old child, Vanya, she was leading kirtan. So it's very easy. She was singing namaste prayers, Srila Prabhupada's pranams. So it's very, very, very easy. And she especially liked the namaste, the second pranam mantra for Srila Prabhupada, nirvishesha shunyavadi. She was singing that over and over. Said, I want to sing that one. We were joking, maybe in previous life she was a Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disciple, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, who knows? We don't know, really. We don't really know. But she liked especially that prayer, which is very connected to today's verse. Prabhupada talks about Shunyavadi. Prahlad Maharaj, in today's prayer, he's telling the Lord, okay, you are telling me to accept a benediction, but actually I do not want any benediction. I do not require any benediction because I am already blessed. Why do I need anything if I am already blessed? I have everything. It is like, for example, if we eat this sumptuous feast, after we eat the feast, someone may come with whatever delicious preparations, offering, but we say, please, I'm satisfied, I do not need anything more. So, we should, what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us, is how to remain satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Dharma is serving Krishna, Haitukiya Pratihata, serving Krishna with unmotivated, selfless, and uninterrupted, continuous devotional service. Even if we do not see him, because many times we may feel, sometimes in different periods of life, we may experience, go through different experiences, which we cannot avoid. Like yesterday, I had been asked to speak at Soho yesterday evening about inventing time, how to invent time. And it was ironical because in the morning, I lost my first train by 10 seconds. So I was supposed to, here I was, supposed to speak about how to invent time, and I missed the train. So, then also, there were like two different messages. I had to speak also about Sharad Purnima and about Damodar Lila. I had to put it together somehow. So, when we were discussing about time, even the most exalted pure devotees, like for example Maharaj Yudhishthira, they were affected by time, at least externally. In this world, in this present identity, they were affected. And this is what Bhishma Dev told him, that it is only all these unpredictable events you couldn't imagine. Sometimes in life, we may go through things we couldn't imagine these things were going to happen to us. Can be illness, can be death, can be the someone very dear to us leaves us in whatever way. It is something unpredictable by us. We can imagine, but until we go through it, we really do not know what's happening. We really do not experience it. One of these things I was doing recently, I finished a dissertation for some master's studies I did at the college, and the topic was Vaishnava Sanyas in was actually Sannyasin ISKCON, and I entitled it Vaishnava Sannyasin Modernity. And what I did some social research and interviewed sannyasis, our sannyasis, ex-sannyasis, and also other devotees. The focus groups, it is named technically, groups of people concerned, in this case, members of our community, and ask them questions about sannyas. What is their opinion? How do they see it? How do they experience it? What they are going through? What they went through? Also, I did this because I wanted to learn from them. I like especially when it's a path which seems to be challenging. I mean, based on the results of the history. So I want to learn from those who went ahead of me. Otherwise, like Professor Hopkins will say, he one of the scholars who has studied ISKCON the most, he will say that ISKCON has to learn from its own history. We need to learn from our own experiences. Otherwise, we will have to go through it again. That's not to say that even if we learn, because human beings were so foolish many times, that we trample on the same stone or the same obstacle again. But if we listen, if we learn from others who are ahead of us, then it will become, we have more chances to avoid mistakes. So, one of the questions, actually one of the main questions was, what makes a Vaishnava sannyasi? Here where today's verse, Prahlad Maharaj, is speaking about rejecting benediction, I do not desire anything, about kama, desire. Kama is a key element in spiritual practice, in transcendental life, both for devotees and also for other transcendentalists, jnanis and yogis. We want to properly deal with kama. Desire, like Srila Prabhupada says here, shunyavadi. We cannot really kill desire. Srila Prabhupada in one of his lectures gives the example, someone may be very ill, may be experiencing tremendous pain, and then he or she will say to the doctor, please kill me. Like here you say, kill the spit on the road, kill the spit. So kill desire, kill the illness, I'm very ill, please, kill me, kill me. This will be Buddhism, shunyavadi. We want to eliminate the source of our suffering, of our problems. What impedes us from attaining moksha, liberation, that's for any transcendentalist. Of course, as devotees, we want to serve Krishna, or we aspire to unconditionally serve Krishna, and we do not want liberation. That's, of course, possible only in very advanced stages. In the sadhana, the stage of sadhana bhakti, we aspire to that. We look up to role models like Prahlad Maharaj, like Srila Prabhupada, in order to receive such a blessing. And this is what Prahlad Maharaj is asking for. If you want to bless me, then please bless me that I never fall back into material desire again. Prahlad Maharaj is free from material desire. Still he is praying, Please do not allow me to fall back into that state of consciousness. What to speak of as sadhakas, how much more we need to pray in order to remain properly situated in the service of the Lord. So going back to the study on sannyas, one of the findings that emerged from this study was that I asked, what makes one succeed or fail? And one of the elements, there were 10 factors which contributed to sannyasis abandoning it. And one of the factors was actually, believe it or not, midlife crisis. And this is something, it is psychophysical, biological, something as long unless we are completely, we have 100% transcended and receive a super special mercy of the Lord, we all have to go through that experience. We cannot avoid it. We cannot say, like the example of time. We have to go through the influence of time. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in the first canto that one should not think that Maharaj Yudhishthira, he went through all his difficult experience. He didn't want the war. He went through the war. So many people, literally many, 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 many thousands of people were killed for making him the king. And he didn't want that. So what an experience he had to go through. And prior to that, so many, we could say, tortures. He was tortured by his family members. Practically his brothers. They were cousins. But cousin brothers in Indian culture is like brother. It's like a brother is torturing you. So Prabhupada says, one should not think that he was going through those experiences due to karma. Because actually he was the personification of Dharma. We have heard descriptions. Practically he didn't touch the floor. But then Srila Prabhupada says that it was due to time. Inevitable time affects everyone. It is not that because we chant Hare Krishna, we go to the North Pole, and then we go like, if I'm from Spain, like if I'm in Spain in the summer, without any clothes. Even if we are chanting Hare Krishna, we will experience the conditions of this world. So similarly, we will experience midlife crisis in whatever shape, form it manifests. Sometimes we see even devotees who are nicely married, they have a nice family, and when they are 50 or 60, they get into something weird. We have seen that. Isn't it? They get into a new relationship. Why is it that? Because there is an idea that maybe I'm missing something. If I do it in a different way, with a different partner, in a different situation, it will be better. Somehow I'm missing something. This is karma. Karma manifests in this midlife crisis. For renunciants, there is one book. It's an autobiography written by one Agyananda Bharati. He's a monist. He's an impersonalist. And he said he lived as a sannyasi in India in the 1950s. Perhaps one of the first sannyasis, Western sannyasis. He was from Austria. And then in his autobiography, he explains how he met a sadhu. No sadhu wanted to give him sannyas because he was a Westerner. But finally he met one in Varanasi. He said, "I'll make you a sannyasi." So he interviewed him for 6 hours. And then he had been a brahmachari for something like, he was 20, in his late 20s. He had been a brahmachari since he was a teenager. He had a vocation. He was naturally inclined for that. And then the guru asked him, "Do you think you will be able to maintain your vows?" And he said, "Yes, I am a brahmachari since youth. I have no problem." The guru replied that the problem is not now. The problem will come later on when you are in your 40s. Between your 40s and the 60s, the problem will come. Because then the mind rebels. The senses, they are looking, as if looking for water, someone thirsty, looking for water, will rebel, as if going to miss the last opportunity for enjoyment in life. And then I reflected on that some years ago. I read this book some years ago and made me reflect. Actually, in my personal case, before deciding, I also felt I was at some point in my life, I had to make a decision. I have been a monk for 20 plus years. Now I'm in my 40s. I have to make a decision. Where do I go? This comes. It's a natural phenomenon. We may have artificially, for example, created the idea that someone who takes sannyas is Paramahamsa, but Paramahamsa, actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur established the sannyas order of life to make the point that we are not Paramahamsas, we are within the Varna Ashram system and we must follow rules and regulations. He wanted to respond to the Kaitava Dharma of the Babaji class who were engaging in illicit activities in the name of Paramahamsa life. So actually we should keep in mind that whoever we are, we're exposed to these experiences. Desire may come back at any time. And therefore Prahlad Maharaj is praying, "If you want to give me any benediction, give me the benediction not to fall back into material desire, not to fall back in kama. May my only desire be to serve you and serve your devotees." And this is our prayer. May our desire be serve Krishna, serve Srila Prabhupada, and serve the devotees of the Lord. Even if we have to come back, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "I prefer to come back as an animal, as an insect, as an ant, in the house of a Vaishnava ant, than to come back with whatever material position of success." Like, for example, going to the heavenly planets, that can be another desire which may come there. Bhagavad Gita says, if you don't make it, don't worry, you have a holiday in the holy heavenly planets. So we may think, oh, that's not bad. I mean, I have a holiday, later on I continue, why not? We do that in the summer, go to Canary Islands, right? Some devotees leave the UK, go to Canary Islands, to the beach, and I don't mean this is bad, you can, it's, especially if you live in the UK, you may not have a choice than to do that. You need some sun. It's natural. But still, desire is very strong. It may come in many unimaginable ways, at unimaginable times. In Gaudiya Math, one of the, you know that there was the, there were two main parties for the split of the Gaudiya Math. Some of you may have, may be familiar with it. I will not enter into details. Two main parties. One of the leading parties, he was, we could say, in one sense, he was one of the closest disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He was a brahmachari, Naishtika brahmachari, living in India. We could say Pakka was perfect brahmachari. He could, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta will speak, he knew what he was going to speak. And if he needed some verse, he was the one who was helping him, remembering the verses. He took formal sannyas at some point. Also perhaps was related to the situation, the other party, the other candidate acharya, who was a sannyasi, he was a brahmachari, so he had to match up. We don't know, we cannot judge, but this could be a possible motivation for it. After 60 years old, he went through, we could say, at least that's my interpretation, midlife crisis, or later, old, maybe less, later than midlife. We give names, but actually the meaning is that crisis may come at any time. Also in Christian tradition, it is mentioned that Solomon, some Christian mystics, like St. John of the Cross, they refer that, they say that Solomon, he seemed to slacken back at the end of his life. So this may happen also. It is not that because when we are 70 years old, of course, externally we may be finished, the body is finished, then we can say I made it, but it depends what's in the heart. Isn't it? It's the consciousness. It is not that, okay, I'm entering like the bicycle competition. I'm not so expert in exports in English, but the bicycle competitors, when they come to they're reaching the goal, right? They raise their hands, not in glorification of Krishna, but in glorification of their achievements. I mean, in a nice way, I don't mean bad, but they say, they're entering the goal. But it's not necessarily like that, that when we are, whatever age we have, of course, if our devotional service never slackened, like the Srimad Bhagavatam describes Uddhava, one of the glorifications of Uddhava in the third canto is that his devotional service never diminished, even in the old age. And this is what Prahlad Maharaj is asking for. That may that benediction be that I never diminish in devotional service. I never maintain or develop material desire which would impede me in offering proper service to your lotus feet. Thank you very much for your kind listening. If you like to ask questions or make comments,